pregnant. The Parents Television Council has ranked the broadcast television shows that are most popular with children. AFN's Ali Martin has this story.
The PTC found that reality and game shows continue to grow in popularity and are often the most family-friendly fare for children to view. The PTC rated each of the Nielsen top 20 ranked shows with children ages 2 to 17 according to their suitability for that audience based on foul language, sexual content, and violence. Melissa Henson is with the PTC and says although family-friendly shows are growing in popularity, networks continue to push the limits of what is appropriate.
There really is a lack of family-friendly programming, and it's very unfortunate because we've seen those shows be very successful in the past, and even on cable programs like Disney's High School Musical, some of the programs on Nickelodeon that are targeted for younger audiences are hugely successful. And so I think there is a market there that's really being underserved right now by the broadcast networks. And
among the shows that were rated most suitable were Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Don't Forget the Lyrics, Deal or No Deal, NBC Sunday Night Football, and American Idol. I'm Ali Martin.
It was one of the biggest items ever to be lost by a spacewalker. Endeavor astronaut Heidi Marie Stephanishin Piper was just starting to work on a repair job outside the International Space Station when her tool tote slipped from her grip.
Oh, great. We have a lost tool. Her tool upgrade was not transferred and it's loose.
Stephanishin Piper says her grease gun exploded, getting the dark gray stuff all over her helmet, camera, and gloves. As she tried to wipe off the grease, the bag took flight. But Mission Control told her and spacewalk partner Stephen Bowen they could continue with only Bowen's toolkit. Flight controllers are assessing the impact on the lost bag on the next three planned spacewalks. The next one is set for Thursday. The nation's top military officer says the Pentagon can meet President-elect Barack Obama's demands. AP National Security Correspondent Sagar Magani reports. From the Pentagon.
Joint Chiefs Chair Mike Mullen says he's still following his current commander-in-chief's orders, but knows what's coming next. Orders to get troops out of Iraq in 16 months.
I've been listening to the campaign, and I understand, and he has certainly reinforced that since the election.
Mullen told the AP during an interview in his Pentagon office the military's identified and practiced traveling out of Iraq through Turkey and Jordan, and while he says a pullout that big generally takes 2 to 3 years, it can be done in Obama's time frame. Sagar Meghani at the Pentagon.
Ithaca, New York is being hauled into court over a free speech case. AFN's Charlie Butts has the details.
Jim DeFerrio wanted to take the gospel to a commons area where people would meet to chat, and there are often public events such as concerts. Alliance Defense Fund attorney Nate Kellum.
He found it, and rightly so, to be a unique place for him to share his message regarding Jesus Christ, and yet he was met with some resistance there. He was told that he couldn't speak except to essentially whisper, because otherwise he'd be violating the noise outside of 25 feet rule.
And noise heard outside 25 feet, illegal. But DeFerrio was ready for police.
He knew that this same law had been previously struck down by the court, and that in fact there was an injunction in place preventing the city of Ithaca from applying that very same rule.
ADF has filed suit again, asking that the ordinance be suspended pending outcome of the trial. I'm Charlie Butts.
President-elect Barack Obama's top choice to be the next attorney general appears to be Washington attorney Eric Holder. Holder was the number two official in the Justice Department under President Bill Clinton. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnon.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like you to stop by there, find the email link to email me, and when you do that, put my name, Nicholas, or Cross the Border in the subject line so I can sort it out from the rest of the emails. And comments, questions, challenges, insight that you'd like to share with the listeners, I'm happy to receive it all. So, crosstheborder.org. These days we're going through the book of Jeremiah. We've ended up in chapter 3, and we're about verse 6, so let's just jump right back in here. The Lord, Yahuwah, by name, said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Thou hast seen that which backsliding Israel hath done. Okay, I think we're a little further along than this. For yet, verse 10, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith Yahuwah. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahuwah. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Well, he is merciful. And could America repent? Yes, will America repent? Well, yes, there's time, there's room for repentance. I'm not like these doomsayers out here. I don't believe that Jesus is coming back next year or in 2012. I don't believe these are the absolute last days on planet Earth. I don't believe that the tribulation, the great tribulation, is going to happen sometime in my lifetime. It's unlikely that it will. What is more likely is that I'll live to a ripe old age, and I'll die, and my grandchildren, my children, my grandchildren, and my, well, yet unborn great-grandchildren will be living at that time, and things will go on. But the question is, what will be the state of the nation? Will people repent without great tribulation? Yes, we may have great tribulation. I'd say that there are people in Africa that have had great tribulation. People in Russia have had great tribulation. All over the world there has been great tribulation. But in America, well, the only great tribulation they think of is that fantasy 7-year period from Ribera or Alcazar, whichever one it was, with their fantasy left behind theories on eschatology. Now, America could use some great tribulation. We haven't had great tribulation yet. Maybe some people have on a personal level. But we have had no great national tribulation. If the greatest national tribulation America has had on its soil in recent history is 9-1-1, well, that's not great tribulation. On a national scale, that's light tribulation. Yes, it's a great tribulation for those people in that area where that disaster, where that attack took place. That was great tribulation for them, the people that lost their lives, lost their whatever losses they suffered. And I don't mean to diminish that any for them, because that was great tribulation. Now, if we had something like that on a national scale, then we would have great tribulation. If we had nationwide hunger and starvation, that would be great tribulation. 150 years ago, this America had great tribulation. It was called a civil war. And America lost its liberty and slipped into, well, a dictatorship of a sort, which, you know, the new president-elect is already openly talking about how he's going to use his dictatorial power called presidential directives or whatever they call them these days, that the president makes commands and everybody does, everything is according to his presidential directive. That all started with, Lincoln, when he decided to plunge the nation into civil war. And yes, it was all his own choice. He made the choice to do it, and he did it. Perhaps he was persuaded. He wasn't in it alone, of course, but he did do it. Changed the form of the nation. And when he repented or relented and wanted to go back to the way things were before the war, in other words, he wanted to unscramble the egg. Well, those who wanted to keep the egg scrambled, who wanted the new form of government, of fascist force over free, independent states, confederated, well, they killed him when he didn't want to go forward with the plan. At least that's the story I have, and I tend to believe it. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding America. I just put in America there. Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Yahuwah. But he also here, now this is a warning, I will not keep forever, and I will not keep anger forever. That means he's not going to hold back forever. He's holding back. Oh, that's what I see. Like I said, there's been no great tribulation in this land for 150 years, really, when you think about it. There's been a little tribulation here and there, and that thing, this so-called financial crisis, that ain't a tribulation. That's part of the system that they've adopted in America. You know, you adopt a debt monetary system that goes against the laws of our Heavenly Father, and well, what do you think is going to happen? You think it's going to be stable? No way. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yahuwah thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Yeah, there it is. That's called repentance. You acknowledge your iniquity. You repent. Isn't that what the Master said when he preached, when he came upon the scene, and he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached? And he went about saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Acknowledge thine iniquity. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against me. You've scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree. That means you've adopted the sin of all of the strangers would be the wicked people throughout the earth. Whatever form of wickedness that anyone else in the world is practicing, yeah, it's okay. We're going to do that. We're going to adopt that. And have not obeyed my voice. You said my commandments were nailed to the cross. We don't have to do that anymore. Once saved, always saved. We get to go up to the kingdom, but we ain't going to go in. We get to go in when we die. They suffer you not to enter because they don't go in themselves. And that's the message they preach. Say the magic words. The law is nailed to the cross, and you get to go to heaven when you die. Pie in the sky when you die. That ain't the gospel. That's a different gospel. That's a false gospel. That is not the gospel that our Messiah preached. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That's what Jeremiah, that's what the Heavenly Father is speaking here through the prophet Jeremiah. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That means repent. That thou hast transgressed against me, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And of course, this is one of a city, two of a family. What does that refer to? Well, what he's really saying is that reality, there is going to be no national repentance. And in reality, I don't see any repentance in America that is going to affect the whole nation. The whole nation is going down. The great tribulation will come to this nation again. It's not going to be that fantasy where all of the Christians who have nailed to, who have agreed that the law is nailed to the cross and they're going to go to heaven when they die, are going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. Sorry, when the bad things happen, His people are going to be here. It may not touch us, and it may touch us. We may suffer for our faith. We may be persecuted and put to death for our faith, because the Scripture says it may be so. It has happened in history, and it is bound to happen again. But we will be safe, because we have that assurance that this life is short. It's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and we're looking for things eternal. We're looking for a home that will last forever. We're looking for the seed of our mortal flesh when it is planted in the ground. We're looking to rise from the dead, as did our Messiah, who showed us the way and gave us assurance. And He gives us assurance if we follow Him. So turn, O backsliding children. Now He's speaking to us individually. For I am married unto you. Are you part of the bride of the Messiah, the bride of Christ? And I will take you, one of a city. Sounds like a remnant to me. Two of a family. Not everyone in the family. And what did Joshua, our Messiah, said? He said, I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division in families. They of their own household. Father against mother. And daughter against mother. Son against father. He was talking about the strife that would arise when people of faith rise up in families and rise up amongst unbelievers. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about here. Saying one of a city, two of a family. Sounds like those who turn to Him, the backsliding children who will turn from their iniquity, those that will repent of their sins and learn obedience are going to be a minority. One of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart. Yeah, pastors after me who will teach you my words and my ways, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. If you turn to Him, He's going to give you pastors that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding, according to His heart. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith Yahuwah, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. And of course, this is a reference to what it's going to be like after the resurrection of the dead, after the resurrection of the just. And we can go back to Daniel, and what is called the times, our Messiah referred to as the times of the Gentiles. And of course, as we discussed, the word Gentiles is the word nations translated. He said, Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. And I had a false prophet, one of these, I was listening to a program, someone sent me a link to it, one of these messianic fakers out there. The whole messianic movement. I'm sure there are some good and genuine people that are following that, but you'll find that a lot of the leaders in this movement are frauds. They pretend that they're Jews because they give this impression that to be a Jew is to be better than other people, that you're better if you're a Jew somehow. So they change their names to Hebrew-sounding names like Eliyahu ben Judah or Eliyahu ben David or whatever. And, you know, their former names are very American-type names like, you know, Steve Butt or something like that, or Joe Smith. And then they change your name to a Hebrew-sounding name when they don't know if they're, honestly, don't know if they're any more Jewish than I know I'm Jewish, or my dog knows it's Jewish. But they got a revelation from God, and they found out that they were Jewish. So they took on a Jewish name and they started teaching Jewish stuff. And they call themselves Messianics because now they're Jewish people who believe in Christ and they get a following unto themselves. Well, they must know something that they can't know. And see, that's a problem. They get a revelation, a personal revelation from God. And I've had so-called personal revelations from the Spirit, but I don't teach them as doctrine. And I don't put much stock in them unless I can verify them by the Spirit, and I can find some witness in creation. I mean, unless I can verify them by the Word of God, because they say they have a spiritual revelation. So they have one witness, and that's the Spirit. But see, there's a great deception there. And we are so prone to be deceived because the heart of man is continually deceitful and wicked. And we can't go by these personal revelations from the Spirit, no matter how good and how genuine they are. If the Spirit of God tells you you're a Jew, well, let me tell you what, you better find your genealogy in the Scripture as one witness, and perhaps you can find it as another witness in records in the flesh, which may be or may not be reliable, which mostly are unreliable, because show me a genealogy that someone has kept from the time of Christ. Where is it? And then that I, as an American with a name like John McDonald or Steve Smith or Joe Butt, could say, well, you know, I got a revelation that I'm Jewish and I'm in that genealogy there. Oh boy, that's a leap, man. That's deceptive. That's something that you can't know. You're practicing dishonesty with yourself. And then to gather followers after yourself. One delusion leads to another. And the blind lead the blind. But it reminded me of this prophet, so-called, in the Messianic movement, whose assumed name is Eliyahu ben David. And I was listening to one of his programs because I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this guy and see what he's saying about the book of Revelation. And he said that the times of the Gentiles ended 8 years ago or sometime just in the recent history. Oh, yeah, almost 40 years ago, because now we're coming up on a 40-year generation period since the times of the Gentiles ended. That's what he was saying. And then something or other, and I just thought, this guy has no clue what he's talking about. Because if the times of the Gentiles had ended, then the great mountain that comes out of the sky hit the image in the feet and obliterated it to dust. And it blew away like the chaff of the threshing floor, just like Daniel foretold. Well, that hasn't happened. The times of the Gentiles aren't over. Jerusalem is still trodden down of the nations. I still see the Dome of the Rock there. I still see the old city split in half. The temple is not built there. The times of the Gentiles aren't over. I see the kingdoms, the evil kingdoms of men, are completely filling the earth, and their wickedness is abounding more than ever. How could someone say that the times of the Gentiles is over? That the times of the nations is ended? Well, they could if they were deluded. They could say that. If they thought they were somebody they're not, and this whole thing about being a Jew, the Scripture plainly says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it's no good to be a Jew. The genealogies were only necessary up to Christ to authenticate who he was, that he was the promised seed of the woman, that he was the Messiah. After that, the genealogies are worthless. That's the only purpose for the genealogies up to the Messiah. After that, it's over with. After that, the oracles of God went from Israel to the nations. That's why everything before Christ, the Old Testament, was written to the Hebrew people. They carried the oracles of God. They carried the Word of God. It came out of their mouths. It came out of their lips, and it was transmitted into their language, and they were the keepers of it. But after that, It went into the language of the nations. Why? Because the time appointed for thy people Israel, the 490 years, the 70 weeks appointed for thy people Israel, that's what Daniel was told, 70 weeks are appointed for thy people Israel. And after that 490-year period, the Heavenly Father was through with national Israel. It was over. And then the gospel went to the nations. And yes, it was carried to the nations by Hebrews. Mainly Hebrews, because they were instructed by the Messiah to leave before the destruction of Jerusalem and the terrible things that were coming on, that great tribulation that came upon Israel. They were warned to leave. So those Hebrew, the posterity of the obedient, they left. They were not called Jews. Of course, no one was called a Jew up until the 1700s. The word didn't even exist. But now we have the so-called posterity of the disobedient who claim to be God's chosen people. Well, you know, Paul differs with them. He says there's no difference. He says, yes, they can be grafted back in as we are grafted into the root. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we're going into the break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org, and I would like to hear from you. So go there and email me. Find that email link. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." How many know there's rest in the presence of God tonight? That's right. Let's come to Him.
I will come to you. You have the words of life. I will come to you. You are the
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Okay, we're back. You're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're in the middle of the book of Jeremiah. Let's see. Let's pick up here in verse 13 of chapter 3. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And you know, there's a lot of hope in that. Even though the nation is gone, and as a nation will not return, that's the way it appears to me that, as far as national repentance, I see the opposite going on here. So we have hope here. One of a city, two of a family, and he will bring us to Zion. And of course, what is Zion? A reference to, the future that we have in Messiah, that future that's going to last forever when he comes, when he establishes his kingdom and obliterates all these evil kingdoms of men once and all. Once and it'll all be done, just as the prophet Daniel prophesied when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the image of mystery Babylon, the times of the Gentiles, the times of the nations. He will bring us to that. He will bring us through all of it. And through our own mortal death, he will bring us to his holy Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It shall come to pass, and I think I already read that, so I'm going to jump back up here to where we left off in verse 18, I believe. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a godly heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shall not turn away from me. Do you call him father? I have a good friend, and we discussed the sacred name movement once. And he says, I like to call him father. That settles it for me. And when I pray, I call him father. He is my father. He said about those who were contrary to him, speaking of Messiah, Yahshua, he said, you are of your father, the devil. You know. So who is your father? Are you born of God? Are you born of our Creator? Do you seek to do those things that please him? Have you repented? Thou shalt call me father, and shall not turn away from me. Call him father, don't turn away from him. Verse 20, surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art Yahuwah, our God. That's, he's saying, return. Say this, behold, we come unto you, Heavenly Father, for you are our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in Yahuwah our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shames, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of Yahuwah, of the Lord our God. How many of you can identify with that? I recognize, you know, perhaps there's some, I know some men out there that they had good fathers that turned to God, and then they train their sons up, and they follow him. I wasn't that fortunate. My father was a wicked man who did not follow the Heavenly Father. Perhaps he repented on his deathbed. I don't know. I just don't know. I think maybe he did. I hope he did. That's all I can do, but I'll find out someday. But I can say this. We have sinned against the Lord our God. I have sinned against the Lord my God. Me and my father, from our youth, even to this day. Yeah, that's the prayer. That's the prayer of repentance, the recognition of the state of our relationship to him, not holding on to an illusion that we love God even though we don't obey him, even though we worship the creature more than the Creator. Gotta let go of those illusions. There's no forgiveness without repentance. And if we don't face the fact as to what we are, what our fathers were, in truth, if we don't realize that, there's no repentance. And if there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness. No, God does not forgive everybody. He only forgives those that repent. And there are many wicked out there, many people who, with all pride, say, I don't need God. I don't need a Savior. And you know what? They'll pay the price for their own sins. There is no forgiveness for them because they will not repent. and they will pay the price for their own sins. Of course, the wages of sin being death. And when their mortal flesh ceases to function, when they draw their last breath and their body becomes still and dead, they will be dead. Death will have swallowed them up, and they will not escape. That's sad. That's a sad, sad story. He gives them the grace. He gives them the word of truth. And what did the Messiah say to that man in hell who pleaded and said, "Oh, send someone back to warn my kinsmen"? He said, "They have the law. They have the prophets. Let them heed them, because the wonder were to rise from the dead, they would still not believe." Harsh words from a Messiah who's in hell setting the captives free, talking to someone who is not going to be free, who's going to pay the price, death, forever for his own sins. So if you have not, I did it. I admit it. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, our Creator. That's where it begins, with that admission. Then comes the repentance. And with true repentance comes obedience. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. "If thou wilt return, O Israel, if thou wilt return, one of a city, two of a family, if thou wilt return, O America, if thou wilt return, man, woman, child, whoever you are that's hearing the word of our Heavenly Father, if thou wilt return, saith Yahuwah, the Lord," in the King James there, "return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight," you can't hide it from him. There's no place you can hide it. The only way you're going to put it away out of his sight is to put it off completely. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Because the first thing you're going to realize when you decide to put off the abominations is that you can't do it. That's the first thing you're going to realize. And then the tempter, the evil one, is going to come to you and is going to say, "You'll never be accepted by God. Look what you just did. After you said you repented, look what you just did." The wise man falls 7 times and gets back up. Now, we don't listen to the tempter who says, "Look what you did. God will never accept you," because his word says otherwise. He says, if we'll put it off, if we'll turn to him, he'll accept us. Repent. Cry out to him. You know, we're all coming out of spiritual Sodom and Egypt. We're all coming out of that mystery Babylon religion. We've all been taught the iniquity of the world and the public fool systems, the idolatry of romance. We've all learned those things. They're part of who we are. We were all bribed as children with candy and presents to partake in the idolatry of pagan ritual. And then we repent. And we act like we're surprised when we immediately fall. But when you immediately fall, you reach out your hand and you say, "Heavenly Father, I'm not letting go. I may have fell to one knee. I may have stumbled. But I'm not going to wallow in it. I'm not going to go back to it. Like a dog returning to its vomit. Like the pig that wallows in the sty. I'm not going to return to it." Because that's the temptation. You might as well just, God will never accept you, and the sin's so enjoyable, just enjoy it. Because you're going to go to hell anyway, and there ain't no beer in heaven, right? That's why you're going to go to hell, party with all your friends. All the comforting things that the evil ones say to each other so they can continue in their sin. Why? Because they really love the creation. They love the creature. They love the pleasure more than they love the Creator. But the wise ones are not so. They'll cry out to him and say, "I'm not letting go. It's not worth it. The temporary pleasures of sin are not worth the eternal punishment of hell. And they're not worth the loss of everything good. All the good things that you've given me. The love of my family. The love of good people. The love of God. And the doing away with all wickedness and iniquity and sin forever. I want to live in that place where I'll never be tempted again. I want to live in that place where no one is ever going to suffer hardship, pain, suffering, sorrow, hunger, infirmity. No suffering, no pain. no wickedness, no desire to do evil. That's where I want to be. And that will be the kingdom of heaven forever after the resurrection. Until then, you know, we're still in this mortal flesh, and we have to deal with the pain and the suffering. But we can choose to be perfected by it or destroyed by it. If we follow Him, we will be perfected by the adversity of this life. If we do not follow Him, we will be destroyed by it. The choice is up to us. Keep your eyes on things eternal. Don't take your eyes off of the prize. Don't turn back from the plow. Don't be like the dog turning back to its vomit. Repent. The kingdom is at hand, and learn obedience from Him. Cry out to Him. If you love Him, you will cry out and say, "Teach me obedience." And every time you fall, every time you break His commandment, you will say, "Heavenly Father, I don't want to do that. Teach me obedience. I don't care how many times I fall. I'm not letting go of your hand. So you might as well just teach me obedience, because you are not getting rid of me." Yeah. "I want to be one. Many are called, but few are chosen. Heavenly Father, I want to be one that's chosen." That's right. Let me be one that's predestined to be conformed to the image of your only begotten Son. Let me be one. If you will return, if you will put away the abominations out of my sight, then shall thou not remove, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him they shall glory. See, this is the prophet to the nations. Jeremiah declared that right at the beginning of the book. And here we are. You know, here we are. What, how many thousands of years later? 2,520? Well, even more than that, almost 3,000 years later, receiving this prophecy that we could live by. "For thus saith Yahuwah to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare you in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. The destroyer of the nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without inhabitant." Is it coming? Is it coming to America? Well, if our Creator is just, it's coming. It's just a matter of when. Perhaps we can turn back His anger by righteousness, by truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. We can turn back His anger, but it all starts with us individually. Yes, one of a city, two of a family. Let's turn to Him, and let's learn obedience, because we love Him, because He loved us first. "For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of Yahuwah is not turned back from us. It shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder." It shall come to pass in that day that the heart of the king shall perish, the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Well, it happened in Israel. The abomination which maketh desolate came upon Israel. Jerusalem was trodden down of Babylon. Thus began the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream image. the abomination which maketh desolate. Jerusalem was desolated, destroyed, that's what it means. The temple was ravaged and torn down. Many were killed, and those that surrendered, those that listened to Jeremiah, lived, and many of them were taken captive to serve in Jerusalem. It was a terrible desolation, but again, a worse desolation was coming. And after the time of Jeremiah, 7 years later, Daniel rose up in Babylon, and he was given the prophecy of that time that would come in Israel when it would be destroyed after the 490 years, the time determined for his people Israel. So to keep everything in perspective, a timeline, well, we want to do that too, because this is leading up to that time, the first desolation of the temple, the first desolation of Jerusalem, and the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, or the times of the nations, depicted, of course, by Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold from his dream image, which our good friend Daniel interpreted for us by the word of our Heavenly Father. So let's jump back in here. The priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, of course this is Jeremiah speaking, Ah, Lord, Yahuwah, Adonai, Yahuwah, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, You shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, A dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse, even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as the clouds, and his chariots shall be a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, Behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Talking about spies in the land. As keepers of a field, are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Any spies in America? Think about it. They come in freely. As a matter of fact, the leaders have opened the gates and said, Hey, let them in by the millions, because we have been rebellious against our Creator. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches unto thine heart, because it reaches unto thine heart, the heart deceitfully wicked, above all, the heart of America. It's sad. Well, you're listening across the border, and remember, as always, there's nothing more important than that we cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever.
Love to be in your presence with your people. Let's stand and sing that. You can clap your hands and be free tonight. Woo!
My hands in grace.
presence, Lord, with your people singing praises. Change my heart, O God. Fill us with your Spirit. That's our prayer tonight, Lord. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit tonight.
Change my heart, O God. Fill us with your Spirit.